celebrate the month of
love
with some great gifts. A staycation at McClelland Priest Bed and Breakfast, wine tasting at Uncorked at Oxbow, and a class at Napa Hot Yoga. A romantic dinner at Downtown Joe's, a tour package for two on the Napa Wine Train, and flowers from Sal the Flower Guy. Just text KVON to 31996 to enter. We'll give away a prize package on Valentine's Day and another at the end of the month. Yes, the month of
love.
From 99.3 The Vine and 1440 KVON.
Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nights featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
Welcome to KVON 1440 Beer Nights. It's another beautiful beer drinking day. I guess, we used to have Indian summer. I guess this is Indian winter. It's been in the 70s for the last few days, sitting here in the studio with Big Daddy Love, John Herkins. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Colin? And welcome, Beer Nuts, to the Beer Nuts Show, the new hour, the 9 o'clock a.m.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to get used to it.
It's a couple months now, so I guess it's not too new. It feels new today.
Since the fire. So, it's been a while.
Thank God that's over.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have some FEMA people that come into the bar.
I still have friends rebuilding.
So it's still trickling, but most of it's pretty much done. So anyone out there want to come Napa, it's pretty much up and running as usual. So,
yeah. I think as a guest in the Valley, you wouldn't notice.
No.
Interesting, though, a friend of mine had a rental car and was using maps. Google Maps to get from Santa Rosa to Napa because there was an inexpensive hotel room randomly in Napa. And then he had to go the next morning to Chico. And it routed him over Dry Creek Road. So right through the middle of all the fire damage.
He got to see a little bit of what happened.
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from Oregon and a sales guy and was going from sales contact to sales contact and got routed over Dry Creek, which surprised me. You'd think Google Maps would kind of send you around.
Yeah.
Would just send you on main roads instead of back roads.
Speaking of Chico, you were there, huh?
I was. On Friday I did a water chemistry lecture to the Master Brewers Association. And it was fun. Good group of guys. I've been a part of that group for 18 years. And
so what would that consist of?
For them, normally I do the lecture to homebrewers. And I have a one-hour lecture, a two-hour lecture, and a four-hour lecture.
Based off the world-famous water book, I assume.
Yeah, based off the water book. But these guys, most of the audience had read the book.
Okay.
And most of the audience had read the book more than once. So what I really covered was a half an hour of things I've learned since the book was written.
So there's going to be maybe a water book two.
You know, there won't be a water book two, but there will be a revised edition. Maybe in another 4 or 5 years, there'll be a revised edition.
Okay.
John and I are both working on it. Yeah. My co-author.
He might want to do just another book.
No.
Like a set of water books.
It makes more sense to revise what we have and expand it. It's sold well enough. You know, you wouldn't think a chemistry book would sell well, and especially one that's narrowly focused into the brewing world. But we've sold more than 40,000 copies.
I do have an autographed copy.
Have you read it?
No.
It sold more than 40,000 copies, which was our goal. Our goal was to try to hit 40,000, and so I'm really proud of that. It's part of a series. It's called the Element series. And so there's one on yeast, one on malt, one on hops, and one on water. And then there's a couple like side ones that they did to kind of tag along. There's one on wheat. And I think there's another one too, but I can't remember. Yeah.
So it's like a series, but different offers.
All different. Yeah, authors. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So it's basically on the ingredients to make beer.
Right. Yep.
Oh, cool.
And you know, in how people are using the books, I think all of them could use a second edition. To be honest, I'd love to see the hop book have more quality assurance, quality control, lab methods included in it. Something I brought up with Stan Hieronymus, the author.
So did you get to tour at Sierra Nevada, or have you done it so many times you can pretty much skip it?
So for me, the cool thing was after my lecture was done, there was a 15-minute break before that. So there was it was 8 hours of lectures that day. And after my lecture was done, there was a 15-minute break, and you know, everybody runs up and goes and gets a beer. But Gil Sanchez, the head of R&D, came up with me and talked to me for the whole 15 minutes about water chemistry. It was really nice of him. He was one of the he's been head of R&D at Miller at Sierra Nevada for more than 15 years. For 10 years before that, he was head of R&D for Miller. So this is one of the most knowledgeable men in the industry. And for him to seek me out, I always seek him out and try to talk to him. For him to seek me out and have things to talk about, it was really cool.
So what did you talk about, Colin? Water chemistry?
Well, so at Sierra, at Sierra Nevada, they've got some water issues where either depending on how they treat the incoming water, depending on what's going on, they have an automated treatment system. And depending on what's going on with that, they're either depositing minerals into their process piping, or they're stripping it out and damaging the metal. And they're trying to find a way of setting the water chemistry so that there's a balance, that it's always leaving a nice little coat of minerals, but it's not building or removing. And to do that, they found a German company that has a piece of software that analyzes every ion in the water and calculates its scaling index. And they're trying to feed that back feed that data back into the water treatment so that it always has everything set right.
Wow.
That would be
pretty complicated.
It's crazy ambitious.
I figured you could just find like an organism and put it in there and eat it or something, you know?
Yeah, you don't want organisms growing in your incoming supply. So at Sierra, they treat all incoming water with UV light to make sure no organisms come in the building that way. But that also breaks down some of the big molecules into little molecules, makes them easier to filter.
Wow.
Easier to use activated carbon to filter.
I wonder if they could do something like a laser, since they're using light, you know?
By these UV lights they use they're long. It's a big zigzag bank of UV lights and they're crazy bright.
Wow. Well, I think we should drink a beer, Colin, because my brain is getting overflowed with water books and stuff.
You know, I'm sure 10,000 times I've used the joke water. It's a dry topic.
Yeah, that's a good way to start off your seminar there, buddy. So anyway, I brought a beer. I think we should get it going just because, you know, it's that time of day. Is it 9:12 yet? It's getting close.
It's 9:13.
Oh, see, I'm 1 minute late. All right, so we have a Bear Republic beer. I don't know if you ever had this one. It's a nice, light, crisp Pilsner. It's called Double Ott. And this was my wife's favorite beer. I did go to the beer festival. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yeah? What
beer? Yeah, I hooked up some tickets from Wade. The one in Napa.
Oh, you went to the Napa one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really cool. There were a lot of people in there, but the venue was a little small for how many people they had, and it was kind of interesting that you'd be tasting beer all day, and then you have to go up those crazy windy steps that right. they have, and, you know, it's different levels. So I was like, man, this is kind of weird. And also, I mean, it was great, but they had the tents inside the building, which was weird. Like, why would you need a tent? You know, I think it's mostly for advertising and everything, but it made it awkward walking around because you'd have this pole, these four poles and another four pole, like in the middle of a room. So I kind of hope that they have it inside, but maybe venture to the outside for the next one.
Well, yeah, because the Opera House has that back patio area.
Yeah, that would be really cool to spread it out a little bit because it was kind of on top of each other, but they did have a lot of beer, and you know, people that we usually have on the show that we've had in the past were all there. The Barrel Brothers and Trade was there that we just had, and Sudwerk, and just name any brewery around, they were pretty much there. But was also cool there, they had whiskey tasting.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and I really like this whiskey called Dead Man's Hand. And believe it or not, it's a newer distillery that's out in Fairfield. So I've been trying to get my hands on one of these whiskey bottles.
Have you gone over to the Heretic Distillery yet?
Not yet. You told me that you were there, and they have a big drum. And
I just tasted some runnings out of the drum. I haven't tasted any finished.
Yeah, I haven't seen any bottles or anything yet. But yeah, they have so you get to taste whiskey and beers, which was pretty cool. And they had food, but just stuff like chicken nuggets, fries, easy stuff, easy bar food that you could purchase, which was pretty cool. But I did like the venue. I just think there was a lot of people. The later in the day it got, less people. Was a little bit more easy to move around, because I'm a big guy, so it's hard to move around, especially when you got poles, people drinking beer, not moving. It was a little bit interesting, but this was her favorite beer from Bear Republic out of all the beers we tasted, and we tasted a lot, and it's the Double Alt Pilsner, and it's a really light, refreshing beer that comes from Bear Republic. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up without hesitation. Drum roll, please. Right. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'll try this side. I want a new opener because I have a rental car that I got from when I went up. I went up to Stumptown also.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And
that's always a fun trip.
It was a good day, so I got to eat out there on the water. And I drank the Rat Bastard, and then also drank the Dirty Rat Bastard. And my wife was drinking Donkey Punch, actually, was the name. Donkey Punch. So that was pretty good, too. When was the last time have you ever been up to Stumptown? I know you guys had them on the radio, and I was mad because I wasn't here that day.
Yeah, I've been out there before. It's been a long time now, at least 10 years.
But yeah, they're out there in Guerneville.
Yep.
So
a friend of mine's the brewer there. He started at Moonlight and went out there. Yeah.
Which one, Brian Hunt?
Yeah, he started with Brian and then went out to Stumptown.
Okay, because they did have Death and Taxes out there.
Yeah, I know. They always have
movies. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And then I also was at a casino and they had Death and Taxes. So, that was everywhere down that area. In Rona Park and Guerneville and Monterio and that, Death and Taxes every bar. So
Brian Hunt was up at Sierra Nevada. So I got to see him for a few minutes. And in fact, his whole crew was up there.
Yeah, that's a good beer. So I had one of those just because, why not? What do you think about this one?
I like it. It's light.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those light drinking beers. If you're not, you want to drink something other than like a Miller or a Coors or a Bud.
Well, it's not flavorless like those. This has some malt character. It has some hop character. It's got a heavier mouthfeel than those Miller Bud light lager things.
Yeah. It's crisp, refreshing beer, brewed with 100% barley malt, imported from, what is that,
Hollertau hops.
Hollertau hops. So, they're coming out with so many different hops that I haven't even seen that one before. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, Hollertau is one of the oldest hops.
Okay, it's one of the original, when?
So there's five hops that we call noble hops.
Okay, which are those?
And Hollertau is one of them.
You don't know all five?
Okay. Let's see. Tettnang, Saaz, Hollertau, East Kent Goldings, and I can't think of the fifth. The fifth is also a German hop. East Kent Goldings is the only British hop, and there's no noble American hops.
None. They all come from?
They all come. Four of them come from Germany. One comes from England.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, this beer, I like it. So I know, you know, I'm not really a light beer drinker. So when I like a light beer, it's definitely has some flavor and some different things that are going on in your mouth that normally don't. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I like they it. Had this one on tap. It tastes a little bit better on tap, though, to be honest. I don't know if it's just...
Well, we're pouring it a little bit warm for the style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're drinking it at about 50 degrees,
and
it's probably best at about, you know, 38,
40. I probably didn't pour it as good as I usually do because of the carbonation. You know, it has to do with the way you pour the beer also.
Yep.
If you're not paying attention, you know, trying to open the cap up, and then you're just happy you get beer in there. You're not really pouring it for the head.
How long have you had this rental car?
I had it a week. I got a good deal on it, so...
Oh.
Putting some miles on it, so I did it like the whole Bodega Bay and that whole area, and it was fun. Where else did I go? I went to Spud's. Anyone out there ever been to Spud's? They have really good crab sandwiches and world famous clam chowder.
Where are they?
They're in Bodega Bay, right down by the water. So,
like on one of those docks?
Yeah, one of those docks where all the crab nets are. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Dungeness crab nets.
Like on right. on the north end of the bay there?
Yeah, right at the end.
Oh, right at the end.
Yeah, right at the
right
end.
Right before you turn up by the kite store?
Yeah.
Yep. I've seen that one. I haven't been in that one.
Yeah, that one's really good. It was a super big line, too.
Yeah. There's always lines when I'm out on the coast.
I guess on the weekends they only do the crab cakes, so everyone likes those. I didn't get those, though. I always get the crab sandwich and some chowder that's really good. For anybody that likes seafood, is definitely fresh. You know, they just bring, you got the guy that brings the crab right off the boat and then walks it right over to the thing and puts it in the pot, you know. It doesn't get fresher than that. And also, you can buy live crabs, too, and I think they're going for like $8 or something like that. It's a pretty good deal compared to the stores. They're usually around $16, so pretty much half off for crab, Dungeness crab.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what I did this weekend. Did you do anything, Colin, besides go to Sierra Nevada?
You know, that Sierra Nevada is a big trip for me. I really didn't. I didn't get back from Chico until Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then Sunday I had, play with the kid time and play with the kids time and,
right.
and honey-do list. And also I have stuff in my shop to get done and.
Well, we have a special, special beer. I don't know if we're going to pay some bills, but I'm telling you right now, this is going to be one that people are going to be very interested in, and I have a lot of questions. That's why I brought it for you, and I got it for myself kind of like a birthday present to me.
Happy birthday, John.
Yep. So I should probably tell you about it now, or do we want to keep them in suspense out there in beer nut land?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, let's do this. This is, you can tell me about... 45-million-year-old ancient yeast. So, I don't know. They found it in some amber, and they got out the yeast, and then they brewed a beer. I don't even know how this is possible. It reminds me of, like, Jurassic Beer Park. Like, they found some old yeast, and they decided to make a beer, and then when they had it carbon-dated or whatever, it was 45 million years old. And this is a part of, I guess they have a whole... brewing network that actually is called the Fossil Fuse Brewing Co. And it's guys who take find old yeast and then they make beers out of it. And then they have their own little group.
Sounds and this like
is
fun.
Yeah. And this is one of the beers that I have. So it's a Saison and it's brewed using the ancient, how do you say that? Sacrimonies. What is that?
Saccharomyces cerevisiae is what it says.
What is that, though?
That's normal brewing yeast.
Oh, okay.
Which would be interesting because if that's the case, and I'll have to look it up, that would be the oldest example of cerevisiae we've ever found.
Yeah.
We can date cerevisiae back about 9,000 years. But cerevisiae doesn't live very well outside of an alcohol environment. So it would be interesting if they had found it wild in a non-production environment. Because it just, like, if you dry it out and throw it on the forest floor, it just doesn't survive.
Wow.
Whereas Brettanomyces, survives really well outdoors and blows through the air and travels. And
well, also, this was discovered in amber, like I said, in Bermuda. And the UPD dating, what is that?
I don't know.
Of the amber indicates it was 108. I don't know what the genetic sequence is 108. Does that mean anything to you?
Nope.
All right. Well, this is the third oldest brewing yeast discovered by this, you know, the guys that look for the beer, the Fossil Fuels Brewing Company, the little group that looks for the, this is the third oldest beer that they've ever made, that they have ever found, for 45 million year old yeast. So it's pretty cool. I never drank a beer made with the old yeast. I mean, I've heard about it where they found the stuff like in Egypt and.
Yeah,
and they made the beer. And
it's pretty common to find yeast in old tombs, a lot of people have been brewing with those yeasts.
Yeah,
most famously, Dogfish.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, if you can find this beer, which is probably going to be pretty dang hard, it's has two like looks like.
Where did you find it?
I found it at a store, which was up there in.
It smells delicious.
Guerneville, and I can't remember the store, but I found it, and I said, well, this would be great to bring onto the show, because it reminds me of Jurassic Park, because they found the yeast in amber, which is weird.
It's just an absolutely phenomenal beer. You wouldn't, if there were no story to it, and you just had the beer.
Yeah.
You would taste a beautiful light malt character with a beautiful nose, and you wouldn't even need to know the story. This is just an amazing beer. It's a little bit lighter than the Saisons I usually have.
Does it remind you kind of like Belgian style?
Well, Saison is a Belgian style. Yeah. Well, Belgian France style. Yeah.
It's good.
I love it. I it's one of my favorite beers I've ever had.
It's nice.
Yeah.
All right, good.
It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I figured I'd bring it on. It's kind of cool beer.
I don't normally like malt-forward beers, but I love this one.
Yeah, it's the San Francisco East Bay Ancient Yeast, 45-million-year-old yeast beer Saison. So,
let me check out the bottle here.
There's a lot of good stuff on there. I mean, there's so many things on there, and it says 108. I don't know what that number is. It has to do with anything. It's highlighted like three or four times. It must be something important.
So the 108 yeast, that must be their designation for it. That's their name. Yeah.
That's their number, so they can go back.
Fossil Fuels Brewing Company.
Yeah, those are the guys that do
in Tracy, California.
Okay. I also heard it was in Manteca, so we'll see.
The law requires the bottle to be labeled with the city and state of the production facility.
Okay.
So it is the actual boil happened in, or the actual fermentation happened in Tracy.
And then also has San Francisco East Bay on there, which is kind of interesting also.
In that last, the legal part,
yeah.
It has to have the actual city.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it also says this is early release, so maybe they're sitting on some for a while.
Yeah, that could be too. Yeah,
yeah. Let it age.
I think this would be better now than aged. But
yeah, I mean,
it's just amazing.
Yeah, but it kind of reminds you of that old style beer that you would drink, like not here, not in the United States, like maybe in Germany or Austria or something like that. You know, one of those older style beers. I don't know if it's just because of the style that I normally don't drink in California.
It's one of the things Brian and I talk about a lot is. You know,
Brian Hunt,
okay. Out at Moonlight is, okay. And he's taught me a lot about brewing over the years. And one of the things we talk about a lot is, you know, just because you use all the same ingredients as a famous brewing style, and you make a decent beer, that isn't the goal. If you have these famous beers that from these regions, you know, you go there and have them fresh and try them. What you notice is that they are so delicious, you drink a couple of pints. You don't sit there and taste them. You just start drinking and talking, and before you know it, a couple of pints are gone. And we Brian calls that the deliciousness factor. I've heard people describe it as quaffable. If that is a brewery's goal, is to make it delicious and drinkable and something that you don't think about and dissect, something you just drink and enjoy. And this is one of those beers. It's just phenomenal.
So let me ask you, Colin, do you think that all this beer stuff, even including our show, are we making it too complicated? I mean, does everybody have to have an opinion on everything? Does everyone, every time you have those beer rating things on the apps and, you know, everybody has their own thing and, do you think it's getting a little bit?
So here's my fear, and you see it a lot now in craft beer. Somebody walks into the bar and orders a beer because they enjoy it, and somebody else wants to dissect why that's the wrong choice. The right choice of beer is the one you like,
right?
You know, and if we turn off people from craft beer by being too snooty about it,
yeah.
Then we've lost the idea of what beer is. You know, if you want to be snooty, go drink wine. I know beer is the everyday, every man's drink, and you should drink whatever beer that tastes good.
Yeah, it was pretty funny last night. Some guy came in. You know, he says, "Hey, he likes light beer," and I was like, "Hey, you know, why don't you try something a little bit different?" You know, and he goes, "Hey, I just like light beer," and I was like, "Yeah, I have one. My wife just likes that too." And then he got kind of mad, you know, but I really meant like, you know, some people just like light beer and they're not going to change. And that's just the way they are. And so he was got kind of put back by that. And I had to go back to explain him and go, look, I know, like, if you like what you like, man, I didn't mean it like you're a girl and you like light beer like girls do, you know? And he's like, yeah, I know what you meant. I just got done wine tasting. So I was just sick of wine and I wanted a beer. And I just wanted it. I didn't want to hear any, you know, when you try to upsell me to something else or give me something. I just wanted what I wanted at the time. And I go, yeah, I hear you. And that's what I didn't mean that, you know, because you drink light beer, you're a girl, you know. I mean, that's just the way people are. If you like something, you know, and I try to explain, try different things. But some people, you know, they want their Bud Light and that's it, no matter what. So, I mean, the branding out there there's some real loyal friends to some certain beers and I've actually seen where if you don't have it, they'll get up and leave. They won't even pay you the time of day to like try one of your handcrafted beers or drink something different. They'll get up and they'll leave and go, thank you, I'm taking my business elsewhere. And I was like, wow. Okay.
I've seen people do it when you have Coors Light and not Bud Light or Bud Light and not Coors
Light.
I've seen people get up and leave.
Yeah, I mean, there's been rants on our Facebook page about, you know, how come we don't have this and how come we don't have that, and you're always trying to push your beers and why don't you carry this beer? You know, it's basically because we're a brewery and we make our own beer. Of course, we're going to try to push our own beer.
Well, and there's only 10. You can only, you know, pour. Well, you can pour 13 flavors there.
Yeah,
that's not very many. In today's market.
We have Guinness and Trummer, and then usually a guest tap. And if you don't like our beer, you're stuck with a Coors Light or Corona bottle. And sometimes we have different stuff, but I mean that's usually the basic model for Downtown Joe's. And it's just interesting to see how people react to certain situations when it comes to beer. You know that people have their strong afflictions with the styles that they like, and to overcome that sometimes is impossible.
Yep, it is, and you know, at being in the beginning of craft beer, it was even harder. You know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think people are being more open now.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. We'll be back in a second. This month at Great
Resort. Have you dined at the CIA in St. Helena recently? Gatehouse Restaurant and the Bakery Cafe welcome you. Enjoy a delicious prefix lunch or dinner at Gatehouse, prepared by CIA students. Or drop by the cafe for a more casual lunch, complete with treats freshly baked by the students. Either way, it will be a memorable experience. Gatehouse is open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday, and the cafe is open 7 days a week for lunch. Drop by and be sure to call 967-2300 for reservations at Gatehouse.
As parents, we teach our children to look both ways before crossing the street. always wear their seatbelt and wear their helmets when riding a bike. Important lessons to keep them safe. Hi, it's Rainey with the Poly Class Foundation. Today, children use social media with very little, if any, safety precautions. It's so important you know who your kids are talking to online and remind them to never agree to meet up with somebody they don't actually know. We've made it our mission to educate the public to help keep kids safe, and we're here to help families in the tragic event their child goes missing. Voted one of America's best charities, we rely on your vehicle donations to sustain our work. If you have a car, truck, boat, or RV you no longer need, give us a call. We make donating easy, and you'll receive the maximum tax deduction. Call the Poly Class Foundation today at 707-769-1334 or go to polyclass.org. Thanks for your support.
Oh, sure, February is short, but February's cute and has a great personality. Hey, February's the month of
love.
Join 99.3 The Vine and 1440 KVON as we celebrate the month of
love
with some great gifts, including a sip, savor, and relax Napa staycation with a night at McClelland Priest Bed and Breakfast, tasting for two at Uncorked at Oxbow, and a yoga class at Napa Hot Yoga. Dinner at CIA's Gatehouse Restaurant in St. Helena, and a spa package from Blue Water Day Spa. Just text KVON to 31996 to enter. We'll give away a prize package on Valentine's Day and another at the end of the month. Yes, the month of
love.
From 99.3 The Vine and 1440 KVON.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
More sizzling news from Napa Hot Yoga, located at 1660 Silverado Trail. The heat is on with daily classes that include hot yoga Bikram style, 90 or 60 minute, hot Pilates, powered vinyasa flow, yoga sculpt, and deep stretch and meditation. Classes support all fitness levels. Treat your special Valentine to a shared 20 class pack of interchangeable classes. Napa Hot Yoga will transform your mind and body. Come enjoy the Napa Hot Yoga community during this season of love. Download the app at NapaHotYoga.com and begin scheduling your favorite classes. Napa Hot Yoga, where it's cool and fun to sweat.
Community Grapevine.
The parents, coaches, and most importantly, the student athletes of Napa High School would like to invite you to our annual fundraiser to support all sports at Napa High, our crab feed and auction, to be held on February 24th from 5 to 11 p.m. at the Heritage Room in the Yountville Community Hall. For tickets, please visit nhsathleticboosters.org. Happy New Year.
Beer is good, beer is good, beer is good, and soft. Beer is good, beer is good, beer is good.
Let's go drink some beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back. You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. So one of the other pieces of news... Napa Valley JC has asked me to teach a two-day course on brewing, and so far they've given me the syllabus for what I'll be teaching, but they haven't really titled the class and released all the details in a press release yet. But that's going to be coming up in April.
You know, I can see you actually doing that.
You know,
being one of those nutty professors. And having your water book in one hand, you know what I mean, and a chalk in the other.
I have a friend who teaches at California College of the Arts, and he teaches a science credit there called holography. And when he wants to travel during the course, I substitute teach there.
And holography is holograms, I assume.
Yeah, making holograms.
Okay.
So... Well, basically, how it usually works is he teaches the science part of it, and then while he's traveling, I'll teach the lab part of it. And
so you've had a little bit of experience in front of students.
I've done some college level teaching. This would be the first time I've done college level teaching in beer.
Yeah, you know, this could be the new career. Collins College Beer Camp.
You know, right? It would actually be fun to do. There's a few classes I'd
and
like
hopefully
to do.
Get to make beer in this class.
Drink
beer.
So the
bathe
class
in beer. Do something with beer.
The class is really structured in 2 days. The first day is lectures, and the second day is lab work where we would be producing some beer.
Oh, good. At least you make beer, right? Talk about it and make it.
Yep.
And hopefully get to drink it, right? What do you got to have to come back and.
And the the syllabus is a pretty advanced level as far as you would really get a lot of education about analyzing your raw ingredients and understanding how recipes are formulated and things like that.
Yeah, so this is the first kind of early steps into this class. So hopefully when he gets closer, we'll have a date, we'll have how much it costs, and we'll have...
Yeah, hopefully they. As soon as they give a press release to me, I can publish all of that, bring it onto the air. In fact, maybe we'll Merrick runs that department.
Yeah, we'll
have
back on.
And we've had Merrick on. Yeah,
yeah.
We can bring that back on.
Merrick from Napa Valley College.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So I heard we have some information from one of our beer nuts out there that what the. UPB dating is that true?
So the UPB dating, I guess is they take the mineral zircon
like
and
from Flash Gordon,
and the way the mineral is made is it incorporates uranium, but it doesn't incorporate lead. So any lead that you find in the mineral zircon. Happened because the uranium decayed. So it's really good for dating things between 100,000 and 4.5 billion years old.
Billion with a B.
With a B.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought we were drinking old beer at 45 million.
Yeah.
But now that you can go back to a billion.
The dating scheme they use for origin of the earth minerals, yeah.
For some reason, I think zircon was like a planet on Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I guess it's a mineral. Who knew,
right? Yeah. Yeah. So at least we know what it is now. We also have another beer, Colin. I mean, we've been drinking this beer. It's a bomber anyway. If you're out there looking for it, good luck. But if you do find it, make sure you grab a couple because it's really good.
Okay. I'm looking to find the date here. So
the date for what?
For this class here, so
that was official now.
Well, it's
Beer Nut exclusive.
They asked me to reserve the dates of April 7th and April 14th, so they're reserved on my calendar.
Okay,
so we'll
so it's a week, and then you come back the next week.
Yeah, it's two Saturdays.
All right. Yeah, well, that's a good day. That's a good Saturday. Making beer, drinking beer, learning about beer sounds good to me. I mean, Saturday would be better than Tuesday at 9 o'clock, right? A little bit easier to wake up if you're a bartender. All right, so I don't know if you want to get into the special beer that you brought, Colin. It's a miracle that you actually brought a beer. So
I know.
I'm very happy.
It's rare I bring a beer, it's got to be epically rare.
It's got to be epically good because I can already tell I'm going to like it. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I can tell you that it has the narwhal is the base recipe.
Why don't you read off the label there?
All right, it's the Alpha Hop Society. Sierra Nevada Brewing Company in Chico, of course. And he's got some kind of special limited edition 2017. The alcohol percent is 111. It's for my dad listening out there. He likes his number combinations. And it is a limited release of this one actually that I'm holding is 816 out of 1500. So only 1500 of these boys rolling around there. Probably less now since this came out in 2017. But it's also, I guess it's a barrel-aged narwhal, which we drank, I think, a couple weeks ago. We had our narwhal on here, which I really enjoyed.
So if you Google the Alpha Hop Society,
which is
at Sierra Nevada, it's a beer club.
Okay.
And you have to subscribe. Only subscribers got this beer. I got it as a speaker gift for my lecture.
Well, how do you become one of these Alpha Centaurian secret club beer drinkers?
I think you have to use Google to figure that out, because they didn't tell me when they gave me the beer for speaking.
They didn't tell you how to become a part of this secret society beer drinkers?
And they had two that I could choose from. I chose the dark one because I know you like to go dark. And
yeah, because, you know, we're always drinking the light, so I have a lot of dark listeners out there. I have to say hi to my friends from the Netherlands also, and Door 74 out there, still listening, still drinking. Also, my buddy Fernando, he's out there listening right now. That's an old regular from Downtown Joe's. Say what's up to him. He called me early in the morning. Thank you, Fernando. You actually woke me up so I didn't sleep through.
So this bottle's corked.
Yes. And it's being opened now. And I'm going to give you the first taste because I want to see your reaction on it. I guess the chipotle will probably give it a little bit of a spicy kick. And I love, you know, when you have chocolate and they do the chocolate with the pepper mix, you know, something spicy.
Like, so my experience with Sierra and them adding special ingredients is they're always very even-handed. They never overdo anything, and they're very conservative about it.
So what's also cool about this is aged in bourbon barrels.
Does it say which bourbon, or it just says bourbon?
No, it just said bourbon barrel. Didn't say which one. Also, I always like stuff aged in barrel, especially if it's dark, for some reason, dark beer. And bourbon go together very well.
You know, it's really nice. It tastes a lot like the narwhal. It tastes more like the narwhal. The chipotle is just a little tiny bit heat at the end.
Really? Yeah. I'm about to try it up. Because I really did like the narwhal a lot. I mean, I normally don't buy the narwhal when I see it, just because, I don't know, just doesn't, you know.
You know, every time somebody says the word narwhal, I think of the B-52s song.
Oh, there's a song on the internet, man, that you can't get out of your head if you've heard that. I'm not going to sing them. I'm gonna spare my beer nut listeners' ears. But if you really want to hear it, just put in Narwhal, the song. And, yeah, good luck getting that out of your head for ever, pretty much.
You know, this is nice. This is Jonathan. I wish Jonathan was here, because this is a great cigar beer.
Yeah, where is Jonathan, man, anyway?
You know, I haven't heard from him in a few weeks. When we moved to 9 o'clock, 10 was already a little early for him.
Yeah.
And 9 has been really early.
Yeah, I close on Tuesday. If I didn't have so much love for my Beer Nut fans out there, I can definitely see me, you know, sleeping in a couple days a week, you know.
Yeah, normally the
smells good, too.
It smells great.
No. Wow, I really love the smell on this. And I'm not really a big smell on beer guy. You know, I'm usually the drink on beer guy. And it's it smells like chocolate chilies, man. It's making me hungry, actually.
Right?
Freaking A.
You know, and the barrel aging part of it is real subtle. You don't get a big bourbon.
Yeah, you don't get bourbon burn.
And it doesn't feel like you're drinking a shot with your beer.
Yeah, this one would be good one there, but it's a limited edition, so I don't think he's going to be able to get it over at the...
I don't think anybody's going to find that one.
It's only if you know somebody who knows somebody who has a secret handshake and a hoodwink and a double pat. And
yeah, but if you like those random rare beers, definitely look up the Alpha Hop Society.
You might be able to get it on eBay. Maybe one of these Alpha guys are selling it, making a profit, you know, paying for their next year's quota.
You know, and that's a really unfortunate situation. And
people profiting on limited release beers and buying it all up,
and you have no idea how. First off, they don't have a license to sell beer.
Yeah.
So they're actually breaking federal law,
right?
And state law in whatever state they're selling from. You have no idea how they've stored the beers. It's a lot of breweries, when they find their beer online, go after the sellers, report them. Yeah, I'm a big fan of people that trade beer, and that's how I'd like to do it. If somebody, you know, I'd like all of those
like trading cards for beer.
Yep, all of those beers that we got for Northeast IPAs.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool show.
I traded Russian River beers.
We did two shows on that.
Yeah,
we had so much. We did two shows of the East Coast IPAs.
So I mailed those guys Russian River beers that they can't get in trade. Yeah. And so trading beer, I like that idea. That, you know, to me, that's how it should work. You know, hey, you've got some beers in your area that I can't get. I've got some beers in my area that you can't get.
Yeah.
It's expensive to ship beer around, but.
You would think this day and age, though, we'd be able to get beer whenever we wanted it from you know, like Bell's and all these big guys that we can't.
Well, Bell's distributes to California, but it's L.A. It is really hard to make beer travel. And brewing rule number one is the closer you keep your beer to the brewery, the more control you have over quality. And these breweries that are like Lagunitas that try to distribute, you know, worldwide, they have a huge challenge. And when you look at smaller breweries like Moonlight that keep it all in Sonoma County, you know, or almost all of it is in Sonoma County. They've got some San Francisco accounts, some Berkeley accounts, some Napa accounts, but for the most part, they keep it in Sonoma County. They have a much better handle on quality.
Well, it makes sense. You know, it's hard to tell. You know, the farther you get away, the harder it is to hold the reins on anything, right?
One of the worst things for a beer is to have it get warm and cold over and over again. And that's something you don't have
control
of.
What does that do to the beer besides not make it taste good?
It ages it early.
Okay.
So if you're in a brewing lab and you want to find out what your beer tastes like when it's aged, they put them in these special chambers that heat it up and cool it down and heat it up and cool it down in a cycle. And you can get a month's worth of aging in just a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, I really like this beer, Cole.
I love this beer.
It has a nice mellow taste to it. And then at the end, it's a slight bit of that those chilies at the end.
Yeah, right. And it's a lingering flavor, but not really a lingering heat. Yeah.
What was interesting about it, when I was drinking it, I didn't really taste the chilies until I had one little glass completely gone. And then I wasn't continuously drinking. That's where it just sits there and lingers.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, chilies on the back end. I like it. And
not big either. You can still taste a little bit of the spice on the back of your tongue or in the back of your throat or whatever, but and it's not hitting you right in the face going, I'm chilies, you know.
And Chipotle's a smoked chili, but I don't get a lot of the smoke because of all the other malts and things. Yeah.
It's good. So good for them. They made another good beer. Sierra Nevada, they're lucky, I guess. Or they're good at what they're doing.
You know, I've been going to Sierra Nevada for the Northern California Master Brewers Technical Conference every year for a very long time now. And one of the things I've learned about Sierra Nevada is they are the most level-headed, smartest people I've ever met. And it's everybody. The busser in the pub is a level-headed, really smart guy. The woman who pushes the cleaning cart around looking for something to clean because it's the most spotless place you've ever been. So she has to wander around with her cleaning cart hoping to find something to clean. She's level-headed and smart. Ken Grossman, one of the most level-headed and smartest people I've ever met. And they're all like that. They're all really calm. They all think before they speak. And whoever put their hiring program together, they do a great job.
Well, everything good comes out of a garage, right?
Yeah, right? Well, he started in a little industrial unit.
In his garage. That's what I heard. Or maybe it's a rumor. Maybe it's a legend.
I've seen photos of the first brew house, and the first brew house was, you know, it looks like a storage unit. It was a little industrial complex, and he got used equipment from everywhere.
So Sierra Nevada's been out for a long time. Do you think
since 81?
It's getting kind of watered down with all these niche little breweries, and maybe Sierra Nevada's getting too big. It's not as cool as it used to be. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me that the name Sierra Nevada is more big-time beer now.
Well, they're a huge brewery, so they're probably producing, I'm guesstimating here, 1.6 million barrels a year.
Okay.
Between the two plants, because they have Asheville open now. Chico Max is out at 1.2 million, and they were at it when they opened Asheville. But I've heard that they've scaled back in Chico a little bit. They're not at full capacity, which is why they built Asheville. So I don't know. It's interesting. They are a big brewery. They're the third largest craft brewery.
Well, everyone's doing the nano breweries now. All the, you know, the hipsters and all this stuff has got to be super low, super rare. I don't know if that gets annoying or not. Just because it's hard to find beer that you really like, and then you try to go back and find it, then you're not going to find it, you know. So
well, and we're seeing a few breweries with that model. What's the one in the Oxbow from Berkeley?
Yeah, we had on the show like
yeah, twice. I know. I right now I'm I can't think of the name.
I don't know why I can't think of it either.
I'm sure all of our beer nuts are screaming at us.
Yeah. All of them. You guys had them on the show twice. You can't remember. I think it's the Alpha Hop Society beer that we're drinking right now made us all go blank.
But their whole business model is they'll always have an IPA on tap, but it won't be the same IPA ever. And mm-hmm. you know they rarely go back and do an old recipe. And and there's a lot of these beer models like that. And I think it's interesting. And you know, I think it's good for beer. It's good to be able to go and to a place that you like and have the exact same thing every time. But it's also good to go try new things. And there's room in the beer industry for both models.
So, I mean, if you make good beer in your brewery, does it matter what beer you make every time? I mean, that's the kind of the logic behind that, right?
Like that's the logic behind it. But then there's the other, the flip side of the coin. I know guys that they get off work, they're tired, they want the exact same beer every day. They want to go have a pint or two, talk to their buddies, and then go home and make dinner.
Well, and 3/4 of the people that come in happy hour, I don't have to ask what they want to drink.
Right.
You just pour the beer.
And if you're changing your recipes all the time, that can't work.
Yeah, so I don't know if that.
So I think there's room for both.
So why not do both though? You know, have a couple guest taps, have stuff to mess around with, but then have like staple beer.
Because people are creatures of habit, and they end up if they end up just taking the normal beers. You know, just like you said, there's a lot of people that just walk in and you know what they're going to drink. I'm one of those beer drinkers. When I Bilko's is my normal place to stop and get beer, and when I walk in there, they know what I want.
Yeah, which is kind of nice.
Yep.
Tannery Brewery.
Yeah, thank you.
My gosh, Beer Nuts just texted me and was like, "What are you guys doing over there? How much beer are you guys drinking?"
No, Tannery's the Nano Brewery.
Oh,
hold up. Palisades. No, Palisades is the one on Main.
Fieldworks.
Fieldworks.
We're losing our minds.
Fieldworks. Thank you.
Fieldworks, and they're a big one. They're in Oakland too, right? Or
well, they produce all the beers in Berkeley, and they extend their 23 into some satellite tap rooms.
Yeah,
I think one's Sacramento, one's here, and one's maybe Half Moon Bay or something.
They're getting bigger though, right? I seem like I've been hearing Fieldwork all over the place. I'm close to it, and they're in the Oxbow. And every tourist goes to the Oxbow at least once when they're in Napa.
And it's a neat little bar to hang out at. I like it. It's really fun. The staff is knowledgeable.
I definitely recommend going to the Oxbow just because it has the Hog Island Oysters. It's got little shops, you know, something to do.
You know, in Napa. Go on Tuesday, get the happy hour oysters.
Yeah.
Stop by Fieldworks and then walk across the street and have a beer at Trade Brewing. It's a great little beer adventure on a Tuesday day. Yeah.
And then come down to Joe's, cross the bridge, hit happy hour. Got a really good happy hour. Chicken wings for $5.55 can't be beat in this town, that's for sure.
Well, John, I really like the Saison you bought. Right. That's a really nice
I know you game. Don't watch football, but did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I watched it in 84. Did it change since then?
No, it's all rigged anyway.
Well, yeah, so one of the comments I saw is the NFL has as much credibility as the WWF.
It was getting there. Actually, they're bringing in the XFL again, I hear. So that's pretty cool. Remember the XFL that came out like in 92 or something like that?
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week.
All right, I'm ready.
This is Steve Gorman Sports.
The last time these two teams played in a Super Bowl over a decade ago, Steve Spagnuolo was the linebackers coach for the Eagles.
Yep.
By the way, hey, coach, not holding back on his assessment of the Patriots and whether they were above the board. Listen to this.
I tell you, the biggest thing we learned was make sure you have two signal callers, not one signal caller, because they may have all your signals. We believe that Tom knew when we were pressuring, because he certainly got the ball out pretty quick.
That's a long time ago. Right now in 2018, Tom knows what you're thinking before you're thinking it, just because he's played 9 million playoff games. Yeah. I mean, what has Tom Brady not seen?
I'm not calling them cheaters, but you know what? They got levied against them in Spygate. They got levied against it in Deflategate. That was a joke anyway. But when we're going back to the 2000s and stuff, absolutely, if you weren't cheating, you weren't trying.
Steve Gorman Sports.
I'm in a nightmare hallucination.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Congratulations to legend and on-air personality Ira C. Smith, who was named Napa Chamber of Commerce's 2017 Ambassador of the Year. Ira has worked tirelessly to provide pressing information to our community, especially during the recent wildfires. During the most terrifying time of 2017, Ira's first priority was alerting our audience of important updates to keep everyone safe and informed. This is a well-deserved recognition, and we are honored to work with someone so hardworking and crucial to the fabric of Napa Valley.
Congratulations, Ira!
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Stephen.